cities. And this was a reality that was never far away from 19th century England. Corn was the flashpoint. In Manchester at Peterloo in 1819, the troops massacred a crowd that was there to peacefully protest against the Corn Laws. Corn Laws, which were restrictive trade practices that kept wheat prices artificially high. When the Corn Laws were eventually repealed, the Tory government fell and half of them went into coalition with the Liberals. Leeds was on the midpoint between the town and the country. East Yorkshire out on one side, industrial West Yorkshire on the other. And at this old corn exchange at the top of Briggate, the corn farmers, the factors, the traders would meet and would deal. The prices that they came to really determined whether the people living in the streets around them had enough food to feed their families. Leeds needed a bigger corn exchange. And so they looked east, like for the corn, so for the architect, for Cuthbert Broderick, who was already well known to the people of Leeds. He was a Hull-based architect, and he, at the age of 29, designed Leeds Town Hall. He also gave us the Mechanics Institute, which is now the City Museum, and the Turkish Baths at the top left there, which is now sadly demolished. Jonathan Meads, the architecture writer, called Cuthbert Broderick the greatest French architect to be born and to work in the Département of Yorkshire. Broderick took his inspiration from Paris. This is the Parisian Halle aux Blés, the corn exchange there, and here is its arrival in Leeds. It looks like an alien spaceship landed in our city, and it is. It's a symbol of the countryside in the middle of the city. It's a Parisian form in a Yorkshire town. But Broderick wasn't working solely with an alien material. He used local stone, millstone grit, which is quarried out to the west of Leeds. And millstone grit really does not do subtle. It demands heavy decoration. John Eland took this brilliant picture of the outside of the corn exchange. Look at every surface there. It's covered with agricultural motifs, with flowers, with corn, with animals' heads. Look at the outside of the building. It reeks of the countryside, the mud on the boots. But inside, look up. This space is amazing. I just want to fill it with jelly and lift the lid off, really. There is no corner office. It's a very equal building because of its elliptical nature. The Architect magazine, when the building first opened, said, "No roof that it has been our fortune to see has impressed us more than this one. It's a work of original genius and thorough practical utility." The traders didn't agree. They complained that it was too dark, and that in order to judge the samples of wheat, they would find it necessary to go outside the building. More windows were put in, an extra light in the roof, and I think the corn traders made their peace with this building. This is a sign that shows some of the names. It may be hard to read, but you can see there the names of East Yorkshire companies there and North Yorkshire companies, the places like Poplington, Harrogate, Hull and Bridlington. And here are the traders at work in the very space where you're sitting now, tables laid out with the samples of corn set out for people to see and touch and bargains to be done. The corn traders at work on market day. Louise, the manager of the corn exchange today, dug out this bylaws list, and she nearly killed herself doing it, so thank you, Louise, for that. I love rules because you can learn from the things that were forbidden what actually happened in this space. So there's a list of things that people were allowed to do in the corn exchange. There was shooing, exhibiting, soliciting, touting, and then the things that weren't allowed that had to be kept outside: hawking, loitering, smoking, and dogs. But what's this? It's a dog show in the corn exchange, because rules were made to be bent, if not broken. The corn exchange was always used for things apart from, you know, the market day activities. I spoke to a number of people who remember coming here as children to railway exhibitions and all sorts, which brings us back to where we are today. An incredibly flexible building. New uses demand old buildings. You can't create a new building for a new use. If you're going to do something new, you need an old building to do it in. So today, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Today it's an exchange of stories tonight, but still effectively a place for shooing, exhibiting, soliciting and touting. Thank you very much.